Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If it's the top of the hour 3, Central Time, of course, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we would like for you to be a part of it. Give us a call at 844-322-2742. We'd love to discuss that issue with you. 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. It's all about Jesus this week. It's all about Jesus every week as far as Basic Gospel is concerned, but we're really focusing on the solo from the Reformation, Christ alone. Yesterday, we started the discussion in the book of Revelation, Revelation 1, 17 and 18. John sees Jesus, sees the glorified Jesus. He falls down as though dead. Jesus puts his hand on him and says, "Fear not." And he gives reasons for not having fear. And those reasons are the fact that Jesus is the first and the last. It's the fact that Jesus was dead and is now alive forevermore. And the fact that Jesus holds the keys to death and Hades. So he's in control of our greatest fear. And he's already released us from that greatest fear by giving us new life in him. So we saw in that passage yesterday why it is Christ alone, just who he is. There's no other person that can claim those things about himself. There's no other person that can do the things that he did for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. So it truly is Christ alone. And today's verse is really going to pick up on that. And it's a story out of the book of Acts. And Peter and John are there at the temple or there in Jerusalem. And there's a person that is a beggar. He's been lame since birth. Peter and John pass him by, and he speaks up and says, "Please give me something." And so Peter looks at him and says, "We don't have silver or gold, but here's what we do have." And just through that, a miracle happened. The guy was able to walk. He went into the temple with Peter and John, leaping and praising the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that, you know, that brought attention, and Peter and John were able to tell others about Jesus there around the temple. It was an incredible moment in the church history. I mean, it's just amazing, a miracle. Somebody, you know, that was lame was now able to walk, and people knew this guy. I mean, they had passed him by, and they, you know, I'm sure prayed for him and hoped the best for him. But they never expected to ever see him up walking. But that day they did, and he was praising the Lord. Now, all of this irritated the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders. And using their power, they decided to put Peter and John into custody. They locked the two up for simply proclaiming the good news about Jesus Christ. The next day, they brought Peter and John out and in front of this council, and this council interrogated them. And so they were telling the story of how all of this happened, and they get down to kind of the end of their argument, and Peter says this, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved." There's no other name that we can mention out there that's going to bring salvation to human hearts. Why? Because there's no other person that has life within himself like Jesus does. As John wrote in his first letter, he who has the Son has life. Who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's the testimony that in Christ is life everlasting. So there's only one name under heaven by which we can be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. It is not Muhammad. It is not Confucius. It is not Buddha. It is not any of the philosophers or psychologists or pop gurus of our day. There's only one name that can be uttered that can bring about salvation, that can strike a note of hope in a human heart, and that name is Jesus Christ. And wherever his name is mentioned, wherever his name is lifted up, men are drawn to him. Men and women are drawn to him. That's just the power of his name. It was the power of his name back when Peter and John were proclaiming it. It's the same power that exists today. So if we're going to make a difference in this world, if we're going to be influential and have an impact, we got to speak about Jesus. Yeah. I see no other option. There's some fascinating ideas to toss around, and boy, we could jump into technology. And, you know, a number of years ago when Steve Jobs died, articles came out, and most of them had a title like this, "The Man Who Changed the World." Mm-hmm. Well, he changed the world in from a technological standpoint. He made it easier for us to connect one with another with computing and the iPhone and those sort of things. But he did not change the nature of this world.
Yeah.
He did not change the character of this world. There's only one person that can do that. His name is Jesus. He's been changing the world since the very beginning. And when he is lifted up, and he is put forth for who he is and who he claimed to be, men are drawn to him. Their hearts are changed. That's the difference in the world.
Absolutely. Well, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you could join us. And if you have a question you'd like to pose, and if it's the first half of the 3 o'clock Central Time hour, you're hearing the live broadcast, and you can do that by calling right now, 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. You know, friends, our DVD series, The Reformation Project, encompasses the five truths that ignited the Protestant Reformation, the same truths that can do a work of freedom in our hearts today. And with that in mind, I'll point out again that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, a ministry of good news, and we need your ongoing support to keep this good news coming. And with your gift in October, we have a copy of The Reformation Project for you. Just go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or you can donate by phone at that same number, 844-322-2742. Again, you can donate online at basicgospel.net or by phone, 844-322-2742. And outside the U.S. and Canada, PayPal is your best opportunity, your best avenue to donate to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. And I want to mention, too, if you're new to Basic Gospel, you're just tuned in, you've never really heard what we're about, have never listened for an extended period of time, we have a free resource that we want to put in your hands.
Yeah.
It is a listing of all of the verses from the Reformation that made a difference, that really ignited that move, that we're experiencing the ripple effects of it even today. These are powerful passages from the Word of God that speak to the heart. Now, I had the privilege to have lunch with Dr. Ed Lee from Waco, Texas. Ed and his wife have been involved with our ministry for a long time. And as we sat down, he said, "Bob, I want to thank you for that brochure on the Reformation Project. Those verses really spoke to my heart."
Yeah.
So thank you for compiling those and putting them together in that brochure and sending it my way. So we want to put this in your hands. If you're looking for answers, if you're looking for peace in your heart, you want to know that you stand right before God, that your sins are forgiven, that you can have hope in this world today, these are the passages of Scripture that will address all of those issues. As we said, these are powerful passages that speak to the heart. It's yours just for the asking.
Yeah.
So you can go to our website, basicgospel.net, or call 844-322-2742 and request your copy, free copy, of our brochure, The Reformation Project.
We hope you'll do that today, friends, because it will be a blessing in your life.
Yes, it will. Well, we're going to go and to our phone lines and talk to Ryan, who's listening to us in Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. Ryan, nice to hear from you today.
Hey, good to hear from you guys, as always, on the nursing station phone, so if you hear any background noise. I had a question about Romans 1. I think it's 24, 26, and 28. It kind of goes down a list of different things, kind of not to get yourself involved in, and I know I've struggled, as I've mentioned on the broadcast, with alcohol and pornography and other things. And it says that basically, you know, God kind of turned them over to their own devices, so to speak, and left them. I didn't know, you know, kind of what that meant, and it sort of, when I read it, it kind of made me think, like, you know, did he do that to me? And no, that doesn't make sense. He wouldn't do it to me because I'm here, you know, proclaiming Jesus. So maybe you guys can shed some light on those passages.
Well, we certainly can, Ryan. I think this will be helpful to you. You've picked out some verses that relate to behavior. And underneath those passages are different verses that talk about attitude. And it's always in the flow of things, attitude and belief, that's going to eventually lead to behavior. And so let's just read through this passage starting in verse 21. He said, for although they knew God, so this is a testimony that the nature of God has been revealed to everyone. You know, we can see his attributes, his invisible attributes through creation and all that is around us. So none of us can have an excuse. There's none of us that have an excuse, a valid excuse that is going to be okay when we stand before God. So it says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. So they had the knowledge of God, that God exists, that if anything good was going to happen in their lives as far as life itself, it would come from the hand of God. And yet, in spite of that clear knowledge, that clear understanding, they rejected that truth. They did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. So here is the height of idolatry. They've recognized that God exists, yet they refuse to acknowledge him as God. And instead, they began worshiping images that they've created in the image of themselves or in the image of birds or mammals or reptiles. So there's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought I was reading, and maybe I have it wrong, that in verse Romans 1, verse like kind of 24, 26, 28, where it talks about different, you know, kind of behavioral sins and, you know.
Well, it does talk about that, but it's in response to this idolatry. It's in response to we're not acknowledging God. We're exchanging the truth about God for something else. We're going to worship images that we've created rather than worshiping the one true God. So it says, therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity. So in other words, what does idolatry do in a human heart? Well, it darkens a human heart to the point that lust is what's there and what clamors for attention. And so God simply is saying, if that's what you want, if you want to exchange the truth about me for a lie, for an error, if you want to worship something other than me, then I'm going to turn you over to that belief system and let you experience the full weight of what that choice is all about. And so it says, therefore, God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring. And again, he gives the reason, because, verse 25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, what reason? The fact that they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped worshipped and served the creature. That's the reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations. And it keeps going on. And it says they were receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. So this life that is independent of a relationship with God is going to have consequences, built-in consequences. The wages of sin is death, and so he just gives them over to that reality. And they experience that in these various behaviors that they choose to participate in.
Would you consider these believers? Or
no, not believers at all.
Okay.
You can't be a believer and exchange the truth about God for a lie.
Right.
You can't be
You can act like an unbeliever. But.
You can act like an unbeliever, but there's never going to be a time in your life, Ryan, where you reject God, where you reject Jesus. Jesus has already sealed you as one of his own. He has already changed your heart from a heart of unbelief to a heart of belief in Christ.
Amen. Yeah, no, it's well said. That really clears it up. I appreciate that. I was came across that, kind of stumbled, and I was scratched my head, and I said, well, I know exactly who to call.
Yeah. So, you know, whenever you see passages about behavior, and whether it's bad behavior, sinful behavior, or whether it's godly behavior, read the passages around it, because there's a root cause for those things. So, you know, when Jesus talked about you'll know them by their fruits, what is he saying? The root of that person can only express certain fruits. So if somebody is rooted in unbelief, they've exchanged the truth of God for a lie, they've chosen to worship the creature rather than the Creator, that's a root that's going to produce these sinful fruits. Mm-hmm. But if somebody is grounded in Christ, if somebody is in belief, they're walking in belief, then the fruit of Christ's life is going to be expressed through them. Now, is that going to happen all the time? Sometimes we give in to the desires of the flesh, but that just doesn't change what we are at the root. Does that make sense?
Yeah, or who we are.
That's exactly right.
Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. Thanks, guys. As always, you guys, great job.
Well, thanks, Ryan.
Thanks.
And thanks for your call. And how are you feeling today?
Actually, I'm feeling pretty good.
Well, you sound fantastic.
Yeah, you sound
good. You sound really good, energetic, and so we'll praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Yeah, yes. No, I'm feeling good. Not a lot of pain today, and I was able to even work out a little bit in physio. So,
yeah,
good. Yeah.
Well, good for you, Ryan.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought this question to Basic Gospel today. It's an important one, and like I said, Paul's whole point in writing Romans was to get us to the point where we recognize that the only way to be made right in God's sight is through faith in Jesus Christ. So he starts with worst case scenario as far as the human condition is concerned. He builds the case that all have sinned, even the best of us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So we're all on equal footing as far as our spiritual condition is concerned. And Christ stepped in. He became one of us so that we could experience new life, so that we could be made right in God's sight through faith in him alone. So that's the story of the book of Romans. And it starts at a very dark place as far as this first chapter is concerned, starting in verse 18. But it gets brighter and brighter every chapter he moves forward.
Yeah, the problem comes when we just take these few verses out of chapter 1 or a few verses out of chapter 2. That's not the point he's trying to make. The point he's trying to make is all of us are in this mess, whether we think we're keeping a law or whether we've rejected God outright. But God hasn't rejected us. That's the whole point of chapter 3. We all have sinned, but we've all been justified freely by his grace, and all we have to do is accept it. So these are intended to be hopeful passages, not judgmental passages. They're truthful. They state this, the case very well, but the point of the passage is Jesus, not our behavior.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Perfect. Well, thank you again.
Well, Ryan,
again,
God bless you, my friend, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again real soon, okay?
Yes, indeed.
Will do.
All right.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, friends, if you're visually oriented, you can join us on the Basic Gospel Facebook or YouTube channel as we stream live video every day. It's one more way God has given us to share the gospel, and we hope you'll take advantage of it. Guys, a very, very good question from Susanna, who wrote to us from Arlington, Texas. She said, about 15 or 20 years ago, I had never heard of pleading the blood of Jesus. I just believe that Jesus is my Lord, that Christ died and rose again so that we have salvation, not only in this plane, but in the other, in the one to come. Then I heard a great message on pleading the blood. Hasn't it already, she asks, been pleaded? I mean, there are times it seems we should plead for help in certain circumstances. How do I differentiate? That's from Suzanne in Arlington.
Well, that is a good question, and it certainly, that phrase, it's out there. We need to just plead the blood on various things in life, plead the blood when we have, physical illnesses. If we'll just plead the blood, then healing is on its way. If we have a financial situation, if we just plead the blood, then finances are on their way. If we are anxious and that sort of thing, just plead the blood. And it's almost a phrase that has a sense of magic to it and how it's and how it's presented. But we have to realize that Jesus shed his blood once and for all. There was a much bigger problem with man, and that problem was sin and death. And so Jesus laid down his life. So when it says he shed his blood, what it's really saying is that he laid down his life for you and me. The life of a person is in its blood. The life of an animal is in its blood. We learned that in the Old Testament. And so when those animals were sacrificed, they were giving up their lives so that we could experience some sense of peace and some sense of forgiveness. Well, Jesus Christ shed his blood. What does that mean? He laid down his life.
Yeah.
Well, he did it to take away our sins once and for all and to give us new life through faith in him. That's why he did it. Why? Because sin and death were our problems. So he dealt with our enemies, the things that were holding us back. He took them away. He conquered them once and for all by laying down his life so that we could be set free. And he did that for our freedom. He wanted to release us from those powers, those things that were holding us back. And that's what he did. He used the key that he had. He unlocked the door, and he set us free.
Yeah.
That's what the blood of Christ did. Now, we don't have to use that as plead the blood as a magical phrase.
Right.
We could just walk by faith, knowing that Jesus is there with us in every single situation.
Yeah.
And so we have someone that we can trust. He truly is the person that we need, that we can rely upon in every single situation.
Absolutely. Susanna, good to hear from you. Thank you for posing a very interesting question. Friends, we need your help in order to make sure that we continue to be here every day, every weekday, helping others hear, believe, and live this good news of Jesus Christ. And at Basic Gospel, we want to keep telling that story as often as we can to as many people as we can. And with all the stuff going on in this world today, we need to be here proclaiming truth, sharing truth of the gospel on the air and online. And with your help, we will be able to continue to do that. Click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of our DVD series called The Reformation Project, 5 Truths That Ignited the Protestant Reformation. That's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. We hope you'll take advantage of this during the month of October. Well, thanks again for joining us for this edition, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer and the ministry team, Bob Davis inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.